We can turn your Bibles to John 15, please. We're going to study verses 1 through 14 today. And I'm going to meet you there in just a couple of minutes. But first, this illustration. We live in a newer neighborhood, my family and I. And there's an epic battle that rages in our neighborhood. And it's not between neighbors. Everybody's very civil and very kind to each other. But the epic battle that rages in our neighborhood is to grow grass. Because it's a newer neighborhood, probably a lot of the topsoil got stripped off when it was designed. And our soil, probably like a lot of soil in Findlay, is clay. And there's all kinds of rocks. There's little pebbles. There's huge rocks that you find. And I'm often reminded, as I'm working in the yard, of the words of Jesus in that parable about sowing seed on the hard and rocky soil. That's pretty much our neighborhood. And so, thankfully, most of the grass is coming in our neighborhood, but it'll take a few years. Now, have you ever had a lawn that looks like this? It's the first battle of dry grass. Looks like that. Okay. You ever had a lawn that looks like that? It's a battle, isn't it? What's the problem with this lawn? Most likely, it's lack of water. It just all burns up and dries up, and you got to wait till the next growing season for it to come back. Or have you ever had a lawn that looks like this? Full of weeds. You're battling dandelions and crabgrass and all these different weeds. It's amazing, isn't it, that no matter what the conditions, weeds will grow? That's part of Genesis chapter 3, by the way. But weeds everywhere. And what's most likely wrong with this is that the weeds are growing because there's not enough healthy grass to overcome and to take up all the nutrients. But the weeds will grow. What we want is a lawn that looks like this, right? We want one that's beautiful and nearly weed-free. But it's beautiful. It looks awesome when you cut it. Now, don't get envious of that lawn, right? But that's what we're shooting for. We want a healthy lawn in our yards. How do we keep a healthy lawn? Well, the right amount of water, the right amount of sunlight, the right amount of fertilizer, the right amount of weed control can help keep your lawn growing fresh and wonderful. This sounds like an advertisement for a landscaping company, doesn't it? But don't worry, I won't be inserting any paid advertisements here. But keeping a healthy lawn. Now, if we take that same illustration from life of battling our lawns and apply it to our spiritual lives, how do we overcome a dried up spiritual life? How do we reverse a life that is filled with weeds being all over the place, the weeds of the world in our lives? Well, it comes by using the spiritual equivalent of water and sunlight and fertilizer and weed control. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to have that healthy, vibrant, growing spiritual life with Jesus Christ. Our message today is called Reaching Wide Through Discipleship, Growing with Jesus. Just a quick review as to where we've been over the last, I think it's been 5 months. We've talked about being rooted deep in truth, those major biblical teachings that we need to have as a framework in our mind to be able to discern the world. And then we talked about being rooted deep in prayer, then reaching wide in evangelism and sharing the gospel, making disciples. And then last week we talked about going with Jesus, that initial call of discipleship to count the cost and to follow Christ. So today is growing with Jesus. Now, in the last couple of messages, I've given you some discipleship tidbits, and I want to do the same thing today. Just some things that I've learned over the years about what discipleship is, biblically speaking. So a few years ago, I wanted to come up with a biblical definition of what is discipleship. And so I read through the book of Acts and into the New Testament letters, and just looking for how would the Bible define discipleship. And so here's what I found. I found words such as to be encouraged, to be strengthened, and to be built up. These are words, especially in the book of Acts, that are used to talk about what it means to be in discipleship with Jesus. So for instance, let me show you Acts 14, verses 21 and 22. It says, after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, that's evangelism, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. That's discipleship. And so the definition I came up with is this: discipleship is the strengthening, encouraging, and building up of the believer in their faith in Christ. So strengthening, encouraging, and building up. That's how we do discipleship. So my prayer today and my desire is that this message would strengthen, encourage, and build you up, and myself also, in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to read together John 15, verses 1 through 14. But let's bow for prayer for just a moment. Almighty God, we believe that you've spoken through your word. And Jesus, these words are recorded right from your mouth in Scripture today. And we want to learn from them. We want to take it seriously that we love you and we want to be closer to you. And so I pray that we would indeed be strengthened, encouraged, and built up in our faith today. And we know that your Spirit is here with us. So speak through me and speak to us. I pray it and ask it in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'd like us to do now is to read John 15, 1 through 7 together, and then I'm going to pick up and read verses 8 through 14 to finish it out. So let's lift our voices and read this passage together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Okay, now please listen as I continue. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. All right, these are the words of Jesus Christ. And today, if I were to sum up this sermon in two sentences, which I will do, but then I'm going to continue talking if you don't mind, is this: how do I grow? Spiritual growth only happens when we are connected to Jesus Christ. If we were to negatively state it, spiritual growth never happens apart from connection to Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing if you're apart from me. So what this message is going to do today is going to help you to grow in your relationship with Christ, but it's also going to help you to help others. So parents or grandparents or people who are meeting with others for Bible study, this is going to help you because it's going to help you to grow. But then you can take this outline today and make some notes and take maybe two per week as you meet with people and just sit down and talk about the Bible verses and what it means to grow with Jesus, okay? So this is something you can be trained by and then you can use to train others. So here's the first way of six ways that I want to mention today of how we can grow with Jesus. First of all is learning about Jesus through Bible reflection. And this is in verse 4 and 5. Very clearly, abide in me. If you don't abide in me, you won't bear any fruit. If you do abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And so we see that very clearly. The main way that we abide in Jesus is through his word. Now, I have a bad reputation in my household for being one who likes to liberally prune trees and shrubs, okay? And it doesn't help that my dad has a similar reputation, and so it kind of overshadows me, too, because when Gina sees me with the pruning shears, she's like, oh, great, here comes, you know, Dick Hayward. He's going to be out there doing that. Just son's going to be just like father. Well, I went to pruning a couple weeks ago, and I was kind. I didn't overdo it. My wife's words were ringing in my head, be kind to the tree. So I want to do some pruning because some leaves and branches were taking away and just jumbling up the tree. You want to free it up so that it can grow. But this branch was severed from the tree just 8 days ago. So if you'll notice, almost immediately the branch begins to wither. But this is 8 days, and so you're going to see it, that the leaves are completely dried up and really aren't worth a whole lot. So this branch is no longer going to bear any fruit because it's been severed from the tree. There's going to be no fruit bearing. There's going to be no life. There's no nutrients coming into this at all. It's only good to be thrown into my fire pit, and I hope to have a fire tonight to sit out underneath of it. But this will be some of the kindling that starts the fire tonight at my place. Jesus is using this example. He is using the picture of a vineyard and a vine dresser, taking the vines away or the branches away and burning them or pruning them so that they bear more fruit. So likewise, if you and I are connected to Christ, we're going to continue to bear fruit. We're going to have nutrients coming into our lives, and it's going to show itself in our life. Now, what is the main way that a Christian does this? Thankfully, in our country and in our language, we have multiple accesses to the Word of God. And so, in the Bible, so if you see verse 3 and verse 7, you're going to see a word that's repeated, and the word is actually word. So verse 3, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 7, abide in me and my words abiding in you. This is how a Christian grows, is by being in the Scriptures, because they tell us the heart of God and what He expects of us, wants from us, how He feels about us, what He thinks of us, what is true of us. This is how we grow. If you, and this might be coming to your mind right now, a couple of examples from the Scriptures on how to grow with Christ. Psalm 1 is a great psalm to memorize, by the way. Verse 2 picks up, says, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law He meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. In whatever He does, He prospers. If you continue on in your Bible to Joshua, actually you would flip back, but Joshua, he had a huge task ahead of him, didn't he? Joshua was the one who led the Israelites, the unruly Israelites, into the promised land. And God said to him in verse 8, chapter 1, says, This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. God guarantees us success and prosperity, spiritually and otherwise, when we stay connected to His Word. It gives us wisdom. It makes the simple person wise. It helps us to know what to do and what not to do, and to cut a straight path through this life. There are many promises in the Word of God as to what it will do in our lives if we are connected to the vine. Now, the best way to grow in the Scriptures is to have a plan by reading it every day. This method, and many of you can probably recognize this, I've used this before, this method of Bible reading, God can use that, absolutely, but it's not the best. The best way is to have a plan. Maybe you're just going to read through a book. I'm going to pick the book of John. I'm going to read through it. Or you have a plan put together that tells you what to read every day. If you're like me, I like people sometimes just to tell me, okay, here's what's expected of me. So when I come to my Bible reading, I like to say, okay, I'm going to read this one today. And many of you have signed up for our New Testament Psalms and Proverbs reading plan. We had over 150 people at our church sign up for that. And so if you've been participating in that, great. If you've fallen behind, don't worry about it. Just get back in and read the Scriptures. The point is not to cover it in 6 months so that you can get a check mark. The point is that you abide in the vine, that you learn. If you don't have a plan, we have some of these available at the Connection Center. Go ahead and pick one up and start. It's going to give you a plan to read in the Scriptures. If it takes you a year, that's okay. Just get in the Bible on a daily basis. Now, you'll notice that we use the word here, Bible reflection, not just Bible reading. Because here's what can happen. Okay, I read my passage for today, even if you have a plan. I read the passage, shut the book, put it down, grab my car keys, get out the door and go to work. But Bible reflection is different. It's not just reading, it's reflecting upon the Scriptures. And so there's three questions that you can ask of the Scripture that's going to help you reflect upon, meditate on, mull over, think it through, ponder it, so that your thoughts and the Word of God get all intertwined together, and it becomes part of who you are. If you've ever heard of the inductive Bible study method, how many people have heard of that? Put up your hands. Okay, inductive Bible study method. So the majority of you not. Great, this is a great training. Observation questions, interpretation questions, and application questions. I'm not sure if I put this in your bulletin or not, but go ahead and write it down if I did not. But here's what you do. Let's use our passage for today as an example. You're asking observation questions. You're just going to say, what does the Bible say? So if I were to look at John 15, I would say, well, Jesus says that he's the vine. He says that later that I'm supposed to love others. He says I'm supposed to abide in him. You might notice that the word abide or remain is repeated multiple times. You're just making observations of what's there. Don't draw any conclusions yet. Just observe it. Then you're going to do some interpretation. Okay, what does it mean? What is the scripture saying? Now, thankfully, in this passage, and this happens elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus gives us the interpretation already. He says, I am the true vine. He's using this parable of a vineyard. I'm the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser, you're the branches. That's verse 5. Okay, great. I've got the interpretation right there in front of me. And then you ask, what does it mean for me? What does this truth given to me by God mean for my life? I take the truth and I apply it to me. What does it mean for me? How should I respond to the truth? And so you might come up with things like, well, Jesus wants me to stay connected to him. Jesus wants me to love other people. And then you start thinking, well, how can I practically do that? And then you think of Bob at work. And you think, man, Bob is really annoying. Jesus says I'm supposed to love other people. Bob's annoying. I'm supposed to love people. Okay, what can I do to show love to Bob? And you notice that everybody else in the office, too, avoids Bob. He's just hard to be around. But now I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to say, Bob, how are you doing? Okay, so now you've taken the step to apply the scriptures. Why? Because you've reflected upon it. You haven't just read it, shut your Bible, and moved on and forgotten about it. You've reflected and say, wow, this word actually has something to do with my real life. God wants us to live out a faith in him and a relationship with him in real life that will impact others. And so do you see the difference between Bible reading and Bible reflection? And you know, sometimes we're better at this than others. Let's give ourselves a break, yes. But this is our goal, to be reflecting upon the scripture. Let me share this quote with you also. There was a study done by a church in the Chicago area to see whether they were actually meeting their goal of making disciples. So they surveyed their church, and they came up with lots of different findings. It's a wonderful study. It's called the Reveal Study. The major finding they came up with or discovered as it pertains to how people grow spiritually is that the greatest catalyst for spiritual growth is getting into the scriptures. Now, they could have just looked at John 15:5 to do that, but it really is a great study otherwise. But here's what they ask us pastors about. So I'm going to let you in on our conversation, okay, as they ask me this, and here's what they say. Is your congregation fully aware of the importance of reflection on Scripture for their spiritual health? Do they know that nothing beats time spent in the Bible in terms of its power to advance spiritual growth? Are they aware that no matter where they are on their spiritual journey, that nothing matters more to their spiritual development, including church services, serving activities, small groups, than time spent in God's Word? Nothing beats the Bible. Are you aware of that? Now you are, because I've just told you. And so, of all things that you can do to grow in your spiritual life, and there's a lot of things that God has given us as means of growing in him, the foundational one is being in the scriptures. And so I challenge you today, and all of us, take some time and be in the scriptures. Start with 10 minutes a day. Read a short passage. Think about those questions. And you will grow. Jesus says, you will grow when you're connected to me. So he guarantees it. I can guarantee it too. And I've known it to be true in my life. All right, learning about Jesus through Bible reflection. Let's move on now to talking to Jesus through prayer. This is another way that we can grow in our relationship with him. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Asking means prayer. Speak to God. Talk to God by prayer. That's how we can grow. Prayer is an open invitation to communicate with Jesus, and so we should take advantage of it. In verse 7, we are told that Jesus will hear our prayers, He will answer our prayers in His time, in His way, because of our connection with Jesus Christ. Prayer is to be intimate, honest, constant, and it's to be expectant. I'm to believe and trust that when I come to God by prayer, that I'm asking these things, that He's actually hearing me as He said He would, and that He will answer me as He said He would. It's by faith. Did you know that in prayer, we can speak with our friend Jesus, and yes, we can use those words because in verse 16, in verse 14, He says, "You are my friends." We can speak with our friend Jesus about our joys, our fears, our hurts, our wounds, our anger. We can confess sin. We can confess our insecurities. We can ask Him for the needs that we have, and we can express our trust in Him. "Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I trust You through it." And I can express my gratitude to Him. "Lord, thank You for being an awesome Savior. And thank You for covering me the other day because I really blew it. Thank You for Your grace." And I can say also, "I praise You, Lord, for Your holiness and Your awesomeness. And to think that as big as You are, that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, for me." I can praise Him for that. This is all wrapped up in prayer. And so this is how we grow, another way in which we grow in our relationship with Christ. So just checking in on us from a few weeks ago, we had two messages on prayer. Pastor Scott preached the first one about persistent prayer, asking, seeking, knocking. So I'll ask you, by way of accountability, how has your persistence in prayer increased since that message? Remember our study in the book of James, be not just hearers of the word, but also doers, not deluding yourselves by not taking that seriously. So persistence in prayer, how's that gone in your life? And then the next week after that, I preached about prayer and fasting. If you are physically able, have you taken a time, maybe one meal, or you've denied yourself something so that you could spend that time in prayer? Have you done that? Maybe there's a need in your life. You could take that moment and fast and pray. Those are practical applications of how you could grow through prayer. Thirdly, loving Jesus through loving others. John 15, 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Wow, that is a tall task. But I should mention this. All of this is only possible through the Holy Spirit. This is not Christian effort. This is not gritting your teeth, white-knuckling it, pull up your bootstraps, get it done. This is us cooperating with the Holy Spirit in our lives. So loving Jesus through loving others. Jesus says, "This is a commandment that I give to you." And He proves Himself to be the model. "Just as I have loved you," which is a sacrificial love. It's not an artificial love. An artificial love says, "I'll give you this so that you'll give me something back." And I've been guilty of that. And not all the time do we have pure motives. But we sacrifice and say, "I'm going to give this to you and I want nothing back. I'm just doing it for your benefit." That's Jesus type love, and that's what we're called to. Now, how many of you know that to love other people is a supernatural thing? Because some people just aren't that lovable, okay? And how many people know that for other people to love you is a supernatural thing? Because sometimes we're not very lovable, right? And so this Christian love is unique in its character and its strength because it comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the example of Jesus. And we're to love one another. Now, loving one another can never happen if we are isolated. Isolated. We need to be in relationships with others. And here at our church, we have lots of different relationship groups. The point is not the group. The point is get in relationships with other Christians. For children, we have Sunday schools. For the youth, we have youth groups and community groups on Sunday mornings. For adults, we have community groups, family groups, men's groups, women's groups. Hopefully, there's friendships that just form, and you go out for coffee or you go for a walk, and you're sharpening one another in your relationship with Christ. If you don't have a good Christian friend like that, I urge you to pray and ask the Lord to send you one and to help you to be the friend that another person could connect with. That friendship is so important. But loving other people, praying for others, listening to others, providing a meal, fixing something for someone, letting them borrow this or borrow that, visiting them when they're sick. There's so many ways that we can love each other. And I do have to say that I've been very encouraged by the acts of love that I've seen within our congregation, people helping behind the scenes, people providing this, coming to one another in a time of need. Let us excel still more, brothers and sisters, in acts of love toward one another. But loving others is another way to grow in our relationship with Christ. Fourthly, proclaiming Jesus through witnessing. I'm going to skip down to verses 26 and 27 for this one. Jesus says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. That's the Holy Spirit. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Speaking to the apostles, but then by extension speaking to us. You will testify. It means to be a witness. It means to give testimony or to confirm something that you have seen firsthand. If you think of the man in John chapter 9, what was his testimony? Hey, listen, I don't know who this guy is. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. He's changed my life. That's a testimony. Christ changed my life, and I know that he can do the same for you. That's what it means to be a witness for Christ. I want to give us just one application here. Again, we can't affect other people's lives unless we are in relationship with them. And many times what happens in Christian circles is that you become a believer, and then your non-Christian friends kind of fall away because they're like, I don't want anything to do with them now. And then you form more Christian friendships, which is wonderful. But then you don't have as many non-Christian friends now that you're stable and mature to go and to impact their lives. And so sometimes we have to work extra hard at having non-Christian friendships. For some of you, that's not a problem, right? You can look at work and you say, 90% of the people that I work with don't know the Lord. So that's not a problem for you. But here's our challenge. For the next month, or within the next month, I'm challenging all of us, including my family, to show hospitality to a person who does not know Christ yet. Have them over for a cookout. The weather's still nice. Have them over for a coffee. Have them over for dessert. Go out for something. Go golfing. Go for a walk. Whatever. Just be in relationship with somebody who doesn't know Christ yet, intentionally, genuinely, and just see how the Lord uses that. Maybe there'll be an opportunity for you to witness now, but certainly in the future. Okay? So having those relationships is important. Proclaiming Jesus through witnessing. Fifthly, serving Jesus through serving others. John 15:8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This branch is not going to bear any more fruit. All right? It's disconnected from the vine. But when you are connected to Jesus, you will bear fruit. If you are rooted deep with God, you will reach wide. It is inevitable. Because you can't help develop the heart of Jesus when you spend time with him. So what you're going to find is, man, I actually care now about that person's salvation. And questions like, do they know God? Do they know where they're going when they die? You start to ask these questions of other people. And then you might ask questions, too, about how can I show love to another person? You start to actually love other people now in a greater way. And it becomes less about you and more about them. Now, there's many opportunities for us to serve here in our church, right here in Findlay, Ohio, right on this piece of real estate. If you were to look in the bulletin, you'd see opportunities in our children's ministry, in our youth ministry, in our adult ministry. And what I want you to do is if you are not currently serving, I want you to go up to Megan Lichty, who's going to be overseeing our children's ministry, or Angie Bergman. Go up to Pastor Scott, go up to Pastor Dave, and you can say, I can give an hour a week, or I can give an hour every 2 weeks. Do you have any place for me to serve? I'd love to just start serving, and I'll bet they could find a place for you to serve. Couple of things coming up as far as outreach ministries are concerned. We have our mobile food pantry. That's a place that you can serve whether you're good with talking with people or whether you're good with stacking boxes. That's a place to serve, and all people are needed for that. In our youth ministry, Pastor Scott mentioned a leaders meeting tonight. If you want to come and learn what it might be like to be a youth leader, you can come to that meeting and learn more tonight before you commit. We have a city mission project coming up. Here at our church, we're going to go and renovate a discipleship house that they have. So if you have skills as far as building or you're a good helper, Jennifer Connor and David Hughes are going to be overseeing that project. And there'll be more about that in the bulletin. But that's a place that we can serve right here in Findlay and to make a difference. In our community also, the Christian Clearinghouse. If you like to help other people and listen to their problems and be able to physically help them with maybe some money or some vouchers for food, they could use volunteers for that. The Women's Resource Center that helps women with crisis pregnancies. And all of that, there's different ways that you could help out according to your spiritual maturity or what you might be comfortable with. There's all kinds of ways, but to begin serving. Here's what serving does. Serving others helps you grow with Jesus because you begin to see the world as He sees it, and you get your eyes off yourself. Because a lot of times we can say, oh, just school just started, and there's too much homework, and I don't think I'm going to get that project in on time, and I've got soccer practice, and I've got all this stuff, and mom's mad at me, and it just becomes all about you. But when you start to interact with other people, it's like, wow, God loves these people, and I can help them. And you begin to care more about them than you care about yourself. And that is a very healthy thing to have happen in your life and in my life. So serving others by serving Jesus and vice versa. All right, lastly here, honoring Jesus through obedience. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. A follower of Jesus shows his or her allegiance by whom he or she obeys. If you obey Christ, you show your allegiance to him. If you obey these other things and the own lust of the flesh, you show where your allegiance lies. And so I'm going to share with you a couple of barriers or areas of disobedience that I've seen in Christians' lives as a pastor, and I know about them firsthand because I've struggled with them throughout my life also at different times. The biggest areas of disobedience that I see, and we could name a lot, first of all, sexual impurity in the Christian's life. Things like this: sleeping around, self-gratification, lust, pornography, living together before marriage, adultery, homosexuality. All these are sinful behaviors which are disobedient to Christ. And 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, among other scriptures, the body is not for immorality, but is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. Listen, Jesus is very concerned about how we control and use our bodies in a sexual way. Christ permeates all areas of our life. And within the bonds of marriage, there is blessing in the sexual relationship. But outside of that, it needs to be kept pure, because that's disobedience to Christ. And what you'll end up looking like is this, and some of you are feeling it right now, because you've been involved in sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage, and you end up feeling like this because there's conviction of your sin. Christ wants you to offer your body as a living sacrifice, and that includes the sexual area. But I also want to give you this hope. There's grace for all of that. Amen? Christ not only rescues us from the penalty of sin, but the power of sin, and I can learn to control my body in a way that honors Him. Despite what everybody says at school, despite what the world's message is, I can honor Christ with my body. It is possible because the Holy Spirit lives in you if you're a follower of Christ. And so we want to help you with that. If that's an area that you need help in, you need to confess your sin, you need some relationships that are going to help you be held accountable, we can help you with that. And we understand and can help you. So the area of sexual impurity. Another area is worldliness. And I want us to hear this. What we look at and what we listen to is what we'll end up thinking about and what will end up coming out of our mouth and what we'll end up spending God's money on. What we look at and what we hear is what we will think about and what's going to come out of our mouths and what we'll end up spending God's money on. It's the truth. That's why we need to meditate on Scripture so that we get rearranged on the inside. For instance, what is the cause of filthy language and gossip and slander and dirty jokes from a Christian's mouth? What's the cause of that? It's because that's what they've been thinking about and allowing unfiltered into their lives. It just comes in and it forms, and it's like, man, I start thinking about all of this stuff, and it's going to come out. You can't keep that inside. It's going to come out. And so we need to guard what comes into our eyes and in our minds and what we think about. What is also the root of the massive debt that Christians volunteer themselves for in this world? It's a buying into that everything that is out there I can have and it's going to make me happy. And what happens is that I get voluntarily into all of this debt and it cripples me from being able to give to God's work. Do you see that? It's a worldly mindset that what I can have now and I deserve it, and with no mind as to how God would want us to spend our money, or pardon me, his money that he's allowed us to have. And we'll talk more about that. But those are just a couple areas. We could name all kinds of them from all of our lives, but that is enough for now. Jesus says in verse 10, if we abide in him, we'll abide in his love. And it is a wonderful thing to go to bed at night and having had victory that day and say, Lord, thank you for helping me, instead of diving headlong into sin and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. But again, there's grace for all of that. There's grace for all of that. There's grace for all of that. Jesus died for our sin. He's there by his Holy Spirit to forgive.